The concept of original sin is commonly known to apply to the disobedience of Adam and Eve, those two first human beings that were on this earth. Their sin began a long history of sin for the rest of humanity, and that persists until today, and it will continue for as long as man is carnal. At that moment that Eve took that fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and shared it with Adam, at that moment, sin entered the world. It was a historic moment, obviously, and even God laments afterwards. He said, if only he would also take of the tree of life and live forever. But as we know, that didn't happen, and we now live life in this way that we do. And we know, of course, that it had to be this way. Man has free will. God created him with free will so that mankind can choose to obey God and build that character of willingness, obedience that God so much wants to see. But as we can see here, God made the choice, the wrong choice, and sinned right out of the gate, right from the beginning. That notion of sin is what I wanted to focus on. Let's turn over to Romans 5, and I'll start by reading verses 12 and 13. Romans 5 and verse 12, we read about this moment. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. I'll stop there. Now, beginning at that moment, with Adam and Eve, as we read here, as Paul reminds us, sin was in the world. And it spread through to all men, and bringing with it the penalty of death. We see that very clearly here. But let's pause for a moment to reflect on this event when man first sinned. We need to remind ourselves what sin actually is. What do we know about sin? What are the facts that surround it? What is sin? Well, we should all have a good grasp on what sin is, but as we see here, we have part of the explanation, and that is in the verse 13, where it talks about sin not being imputed where there is no law. Now, that word imputed means to reckon, to apply, to account for. Basically, it means to say, like, hey, you sinned, right? But when there is no law, there is no sin, all right? And as we know from the verse that should resound in our ears from 1 John 3:4, we have a very clear definition of sin there. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. That's it, right there. That's what sin is. Now, this means now, reading what we have here in Romans 5, verses 12 and 13, that there was a law. There must have been a law in effect at the time of Adam, because he sinned. Adam and Eve both sinned. That law that was transgressed was the spiritual law that is summarized by the Ten Commandments. Plain and simple, if we see that there is sin, that means that there is a transgression of the law. Therefore, since we have Adam sinning, there must have been a law in effect for him to break. Of course, if there wasn't any law, he would not have sinned, and we would not be able to say that he did. We have proof right here, then, of the spiritual law being in effect at the time of Adam. Now, the point in bringing this up is that it that happened before the Ten Commandments were given to Moses. They were in effect. We have proof. But I want to go a little bit deeper into this, because I want to know what law it was that Adam broke. What was it? Well, very clearly, Adam and Eve did not follow the instructions that they were given. That's very obvious. But what exactly was wrong with that? Let me give you an example. If a bully comes up to you after school and says, "Hey kid, give me your lunch money," and threatens to put you into a headlock, he's giving you an instruction, right? With a threat. Are you obligated to do what he says? No, of course not. Does that person have authority over you to require you to do what he says? No, he does not have authority. Just because someone, anyone, comes up to you and gives you an instruction doesn't necessarily mean that you have to obey it. In fact, in some cases, we are definitely not supposed to obey that in situations where we would be doing some action that goes in contradiction to the laws of God. But for Adam, we have a different situation. God is not a bully. God does, in fact, have authority over them. He has authority over us. And because of that, this disobedience was accounted, it was reckoned, it was imputed as a sin to Adam. The first sin of man is on the records because of that disobedience. Since we know that there is sin, there's lawlessness. But what law is it that was broken there? If we know the Ten Commandments, we're probably going through them right now. You know, it's not a lie. He didn't lie. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't break the Sabbath. He didn't make a carved image. So then what was that sin? What was that law that was broken? So the key to understanding what law Adam broke is to focus on this disobedience that was involved in his action. He did not follow the instruction. Adam and Eve did not obey the one who had authority to command him to follow instructions. And now it turns out that this points very directly to the first commandment. That first commandment should be very familiar to us all. It's very simply stated as part of my sermonette title, "You shall have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment. The clear command, the obvious part, is to have no other gods, but there's a corollary to that as well. That is, not having other gods presupposes that we acknowledge the one true God. We have the eternal as our God, and there is no other who is our God. That is the one who we acknowledge as having authority over us. That is the one whom we follow the instructions of. Adam and Eve chose to disobey the instruction of God, and they chose not to acknowledge the authority of God. They broke that first commandment. Even if they were not worshiping another God, they were not honoring the true God either. We can conclude that the first commandment was violated by Adam and Eve long before it was ever written into stone. So that first commandment was in effect. I would like to go to Exodus 10 and read about another example where we can see the first commandment being in effect before it was written in stone. I'll begin in verses 3 and 4 and skip a little bit following that. Exodus 10, in verse 3, we read a little bit of context during these plagues that are taking place. "So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory.'" The instruction that we hear brought from God through Moses to Pharaoh was, obey me, submit to me, follow my instruction. All right, let's go down to Exodus 10, verse 16. This is after the locusts come and demolish the area. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. We can see that even Pharaoh, to whom the law was not directly given, he acknowledged his sin against God. He said that he was admitting that he was not obeying God's instruction, and he correctly identified that he was sinning. It was a sin to not obey. And he was certainly worshiping other gods as well. He even says, your gods, your God, rather. Here's more proof that the first commandment was in effect before the Ten Commandments were written in stone. I'd like to give you one last example of the first commandment being in effect before the Ten Commandments were given. This is in Ezekiel 28 and verses 15 through 17. This is in reference to Lucifer before the creation of man. Ezekiel 28 and verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Let's pick up a few things that are stand out in this passage. We hear about the iniquity, that imperfection, the fall from God's instruction. And pride is clearly indicated here as well. And what is pride? It is that elevation of self above God. Again, not recognizing the authority of God and even putting self above that. And Lucifer did not honor God and his authority. We know that. And what is it called here? It is called sin. You sinned, it says. Sin is the transgression of the law, that spiritual law. The law was in effect since before the time of man, that first commandment to honor and obey God's authority and have no other gods before him. The spiritual law of God has been in effect for eternity. We've seen evidence of the fact that the first commandment to have no other gods before the eternal was broken before the Ten Commandments were given to Moses and before even the creation of man. For us, the lesson is clear. We need to honor and obey God's instructions. When we have the eternal as our God and no other, we love and honor him, demonstrating our love through submission and obedience. That is what we do. The point that we need to understand is that if we don't follow God's instructions and if we don't believe him, we are not acknowledging him as God, and we break the first commandment that has been in effect and will remain in effect forever.